Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Christmas Eve, 9:08 on this Christmas Eve morning time where you visit with family and friends. And our next guest, a little bit of each, Kevin Belton, Chef Kevin Belton over at WWR Louisiana. How are you, Chef Kev?
I am so good because I get to talk to you.
I'm right there with you, man. Feeling good talking to you, too. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of y'all if we don't talk to you again before the year. First of all, it's been a tough year for Channel 4 with Eric Paulson and now our friend Alfred Richard, who is on with me a lot to talk about movies and so forth. Condolences to the Channel 4 family.
Appreciate it. You know, I'm at the studio right now. We just cleared the morning news. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, let's put it this way. They're both here. I know it may sound crazy.
No, I don't think it's crazy at all.
They're both here. I can see Alfred still trying to talk Eric. Well, since nobody will see you now, you can put on these shorts and dance with me, you know?
It's tough, man, and it goes to show you about at this time of year, not to get maudlin or anything, but you never know. You know, you never know, so take the time that you have with the people you love and make it quality time, and I guess food's part of that, right, Chef Kev?
Well, you know, that's why, Tommy, you know, there's enough stress during the holidays as it is. So we don't need to add on any other stress. And, you know, I this morning I mentioned if you make great peanut butter and jelly finger sandwiches, mm-hmm. serve peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, you know, because there's enough stress. So try to keep it as simple as you can. We have some wonderful grocery stores. We have wonderful restaurants. It's not too late to order something, go pick something up, heat it up. Because, Tommy, it's not so much what's on the table, it's who's at the table. You know how it is. It's all about the visit.
Amen.
That's something that I always try to preach.
Not only about what's on a table in terms of food, but in terms of silver and flatware and everything else. You're not trying to take a picture. You're trying to have a good time with your family, right?
That's it. So take the stress out. There is no such thing as everything being perfect. So just keep it simple. You know, matter of fact, this morning I did 3 appetizers that were just last minute things that you could whip up really quick. I did a hot chocolate dip. Now, most of us keep hot chocolate at home. Mm-hmm. If you take a block of cream cheese, let it sit out to get room temperature, add a cup of marshmallow fluff to that and just whip it with some beaters, then throw in like 4 packs of the hot cocoa mix, mm-hmm. and which is about 3/4 of a cup, 1/4 cup of chocolate cocoa, the dry cocoa, and then add 1/2 cup of cream to that and just whip it with a mixer. And then you got a great dip that you can use any kind of cookie with. I used a shortbread cookie this morning. You could do a gingerbread cookie. You could do an Oreo. You could any kind of cookie you want. But it's something that's nice and simple. You could put a little whipped cream on top and put some little holiday sprinkles on top of it if you want. But it's something that doesn't take a lot of work that you can put out that folks can enjoy.
You know? I'm thinking of when you mentioned that as a tablespoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Just eat it with a tablespoon. What else did you make, Chef Kevin?
I did a jam and brie crostini. I took a baguette, sliced it, buttered it, ran it in the oven, got it nice and golden, took it out, let it cool, and then I smeared cherry jam on it, put a piece of brie on top of that, and then I sprinkled a little sugar on it. Hmm. Now, I have a kitchen torch, and I just torched it. You know how creme brulee has that caramelized sugar on top?
Right.
I used a torch, and I torched it. But if you don't have a torch, once you put the sugar on top of the brie, just run it under the broiler just for about a minute. You know, just open it to watch it because you just want that sugar to caramelize. but it's a little something that's nice and simple that, you know, you don't have to use brie. You can use whatever kind of jelly you have at home. You can use whatever kind of cheese you have at home. But it's just a little something to snack on while you sit and visit with friends or while dinner's getting ready.
But both of those nice are simple yet kind of elegant. What's the third one?
Yeah, the third one I did was a croque monsieur where, you know, we make roux in Louisiana. I made a little blonde roux, add a little milk, just a splash of heavy cream with it, but I season it with a little salt, pepper, and Dijon mustard. You could do a Creole mustard, but a little Dijon mustard. I took a puff pastry sheet, cut it into 12 sections, sprayed a muffin tin, put them down in the muffin tins, a little bit of the bechamel sauce in the bottom, slice of ham, a little Gruyere and Swiss cheese, another slice of ham, a little more cheese, topped it with Parmesan, bake that in the oven for 20 minutes, and it's a nice little croque monsieur bite, like the sandwich.
Sounds delicious. When it comes to new recipes, I'm going to talk about me here for a second, okay? Because I was watching, of all things, a King of the Hill episode, and Peggy Hill made Brown Betty, and I realized I don't think I'd ever had Brown Betty. So I looked up the recipe, and I went to see Bobby and Mike over at Rouse's on Sunday, got all the stuff for it, and I'm going to make that today. What exactly am I making? I don't even know what the hell it is.
I've heard of a Brown Betty, but I'm not sure what it is. I may have to look it up now that you ask.
I don't know if it's like a pie or like a cobbler or something. I don't know, but you put flour and brown sugar and apples and all this kind of stuff.
I know. I think it's just it's kind of a take on an apple pie, but it's a cross between a pie and, like you say, a crumble. Because, you know, you got that brown sugar in there that and you're mixing the flour and all. Don't you make like a crumble with the butter and the flour and then mix a little brown sugar in there and you spread that all throughout with the apples?
Oh, I didn't get through that part yet. I just got through the ingredient part. I'll get to the rest of it later. Somebody texted in about cobbler, actually, and how hard is it to make cobbler?
You know, an easy, simple cobbler recipe, and this may sound secret. I used to do this because I taught my sons how to do it. Mm-hmm. I would take a can of biscuits, take a Pyrex dish, spray it or butter it, mm-hmm. take the biscuits, put them down, kind of smash them just a little bit, take some butter, cube it, throw the cube butter on there, throw some frozen fruit in there, like frozen blueberries, take about a half a cup of sugar, sprinkle it all over everything, bake it in the oven. Biscuits bake up all around the fruit and all, yeah.
Oh, really? Could I do that with fresh apples? Because I might eschew the Brown Betty idea now.
You could. I would use a little extra butter because by using like a frozen blueberry or frozen mm-hmm. strawberry or a frozen peach, you're getting a little moisture
I got you.
From that frozen fruit.
Somebody else texted about they had apple pie that their mother used to make, and it wasn't the supermarket type liquidy apple. It was like apples stacked on top of each other, and it was like solid apples in a pie. Do you know anything of what they're talking about?
Yeah, basically, you know, a lot of times with apple pie, they want you to cook the apples down, and sometimes that gives off a lot of moisture, especially when you put the sugar in there. Mm-hmm. It makes a syrup and things like that. So basically what they're doing, they're making a pie, but they're layering the apples and then probably putting a little sugar over the top of it and maybe putting a pie crust on top of that with a little butter underneath the crust and then baking that off. That way it's solid apples and it's not like cooking the apples first in a skillet because some recipes call for put a little butter down, throw in your apples. You can go with a little honey or a little sugar, squeeze of lemon juice to brighten it up, and it cooks the apples down into like a sauce. And then you put that in your pie shell once it cools. Well, instead of doing that, you're basically just layering your apples. And you can put a layer of apples down, a little sprinkle of sugar, layer your apples, a little sprinkle of sugar, and make like three layers of apples down in that, and then throw a little butter on top of that and just bake it.
Somebody texted in about they always start their Christmas mornings with cinnamon rolls, and they wanted to make them themselves this year instead of going with the canned version. How hard is it to make a cinnamon roll?
Easy. Find a nice dough recipe, and it could be a simple dough recipe. Basically, what you're going to do is you're going to roll it out and then smear it with a cinnamon sugar mixture. All right? Uh-huh. Put a smear of butter, then sprinkle the cinnamon sugar on it and roll it up, slice it, put them on a sheet pan, and bake them.
Somebody wants to know about an easy oyster dressing recipe.
If you want to just buy some cornbread already made, and I'm sure some of the stores sell cornbread already made, saute your Trinity, season it really good, crumble your cornbread in a bowl, put that Trinity in with that cornbread, moisten it with a little stock, and then fold your oysters into it. Bake it in the oven just till it heats up all the way through, and there you go.
Somebody else texted in about oyster dressing. Do you leave them whole or do you cut them up?
I leave them whole. But, you know, if you got a lot of people to feed, you can just kind of pulse them a little bit in the food processor, and that way they're mixed all the way through the entire dish.
Can you see this?
And don't get rid of that oyster liquor.
What do you use that for?
You can use that to moisten. Instead of using stock, use some of that oyster liquor to moisten that cornbread.
Should I put that in a brown Betty or not?
No, I wouldn't put that in the brown Betty.
I thought we might be creating something here. Somebody texted in about cooking the stuffing inside of the turkey or outside. Does it really, given the health, I guess it's a long text, but they're talking about the trade-off. Is it worth the health risks to cook the stuffing inside the turkey or not really?
Inside, it'll have a different texture than normally cooked on in like a baking dish. Mm-hmm. Now, my mom used to always cook it outside, and she would always put some in the turkey. You just have to make sure the best thing for folks to have is a thermometer. Just make sure that it's heated up, that the dressing, pretty much everything in that dressing is already cooked. I don't know if you want to put an oyster dressing inside of the turkey, but if you're just making a regular sausage dressing or if you're just making a cornbread dressing that just has the Trinity in it and the cornbread and it's nice and moist, put that in. Once it heats all the way through, since everything is pretty much cooked, you'll be fine.
I get three texts here from different numbers. Everybody wants to know about making cranberry sauce from scratch.
It's fairly simple. I did it years ago, and I'm trying to remember that recipe.
My question would be, why?
I don't know. You know, as a kid, I grew up with that little, it's something about that suction out of the can.
Yes.
You know, the can.
You know, it's the holidays when you hear that, right?
Yeah, and it's just something that, when you do it from scratch, a lot of recipes call for a little orange zest or lemon zest in it. And it has fresh cranberries are really tart. So it's not going to be very sweet. It's going to have a tartness to it. So if you like that tartness, you know, it's easy to find a recipe for fresh cranberry sauce. But using fresh cranberries, they're not very sweet. They're kind of sweet and tart. It'll have a more of a tartness to it than the ones you buy already made in the can.
Uh-oh, this one pops up. I forgot to take the turkey out of the freezer. Should I go get a fresh one if I can find one, or is there still time to thaw this one? I guess it depends on when you want to cook it, huh?
Yeah, if they have a big enough sink to put it in water and change that water every 30 minutes, or if not, do it in the ice chest with cold water. Not hot water, cold water.
Wait. Every 3 minutes?
30 minutes.
30 minutes. Oh, okay.
Every 30 minutes, change your water, okay? Because normally in restaurants, when we defrost something, we defrost it under running water.
Okay.
But if your sink is big enough to where you can fill that sink with water and get that turkey in that water, change that water every 30 minutes. Cold water, not hot. Cold water. Or use an ice chest to do it. But, you know, the best thing is, I saw there were a bunch of turkeys still in the grocery stores. Go find a fresh turkey, and that way you don't have to worry about it not being defrosted all the way through.
And finally, we'll wrap it up with this one. Somebody wants to know about the best way to cook a pork loin. Apparently, that's what they're having for Christmas.
Season it really well on the outside.
With what, Kevin? Are there seasonings that lend themselves to pork better than others?
Not really. This is just any kind of nice Creole seasoning mix. Mm-hmm. And if you want, you could take a little bit of, if you want a little sweetness to it, take a little brown sugar and mix in. If you want to just mix it up, like take a little brown sugar, mix in some garlic powder, a little cayenne pepper or white pepper, mix in some salt and maybe some smoked paprika, rub that on that pork, and just go ahead and stick that in a nice 375-degree oven. But make sure you have a candy thermometer. I mean, not a candy thermometer, a regular meat thermometer. Because once it reaches 150 degrees internally, take it out. Because it'll continue to cook all the way through. And that way your pork will be nice and moist and won't be dried out.
All right, I lied. One more question. That is, somebody's smoking a turkey for the first time and wants to know about how long it's going to take. They didn't give me the weight of the bird.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Now, smoking, here's the thing about smoking. Smoking can only penetrate for so long, and you're only going to, it'll only accept smoke for like the first hour. So if they smoke it, they can go ahead and smoke it for an hour, but then they need to go ahead and put it in the oven and cook it.
Okay. So just follow the however you bake a turkey, right?
Yeah. But if they smoke it for the first hour, and because after so much smoke can't penetrate anymore,
right.
And then go ahead and throw it in the oven and bake it like normal, and they'll still have that nice smoked flavor.
So do they knock off cooking time because they smoked it for an hour?
No, not really, because in the smoker, they're not going to have a higher temperature than the oven.
Yeah.
The smoking temperature will probably only get to about maybe 200 degrees.
All right.
So it's enough to heat it up to start to smoke it, but not to like, it's not like a piece of meat where it'll get time to sit in there for hours and cook.
All right, I lied. One more quick one. I'm having Christmas Eve for 6:30. How soon do I cook the rice that'll stay good room temperature for my gumbo?
How soon do you know, if you want, you can look, I'd cook the rice about 1 o'clock. You know, we always had a pot of rice on the stove. What mom used to do, cook the rice, put it in a strainer, rinse it with cold water, set it back over a boiler, you know, set it back over a pot of water covered with foil. And right before you're ready for it, turn the fire back on and let it just heat back up a little bit.
Steam that baby. Thank you, Chef Kevin. Have a wonderful Merry Christmas, you and the wife and the dogs and the kids and everybody. All right.
Same to you, brother. You know I love you.
I love you back. 9:24, we'll take a break. Speaking of love, we'll talk to Dr. Judy Ho, our friend, Dr. Judy Ho, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, about the Christmas spirit. What does it really mean between the ears and in the heart? We'll talk about it when we return, Christmas Eve 2024. Tommy Tucker, WWL.